God. So let's go to prayer and remember to pray for these things during the week too and pray for one another. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. Another day of grace. Another day you're holding back your wrath. You're being long-suffering. And another day that we can redeem and that we can live in our lives in light of the rapture to know that Christ could come back at any time and to realize that in heaven, we can't lead anybody to the Lord. They'll all be saved. So may we use our time wisely here to reach out to the lost and to build up and edify the saved and to love one another. And Father, I pray for Robin's follow-up surgery on Wednesday. I thank you I can pray with my eyes open. I know Jews do that sometimes. We pray for Stacy Harris and Genoa with their health issues and for Linda Huff with their health issues, I believe it's with their heart. We pray for Pastor Ricky at the conference in Georgia. May you use him exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. And for those who are there, that you would use him to build them up in the faith. For the unspoken prayer needs of our church family. For my friend Linda Mullins, her health problems, and then also for her medicines that she needs, that you would provide. Other church family have health issues, the Berean Bible Fellowship Conference, the Grace Reference Bible that me, the pastor, and other Grace teachers and pastors are working on. I pray if Satan tries to intervene in trying to slow that work down or stop it, that you would just push us farther, Father, and that we can get this much-needed work done. We pray for the leaders of our nation, those in authority, from the president on down to the House of Representatives, the Senate, the mayors, the governors. I pray, Father, as a psalmist mentioned, that as you turn the river into the ocean, you can turn the heads of men and the idea of those kings in authority. So we pray for that, Father. I pray for the service. I pray for what Oscar had, the seeds he had planted, that your Holy Spirit will produce much fruit through them. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, as always, would be the teacher here, and that he would teach through me. And we thank you that your word worketh in us and that we can open up the bread of life and break it together. And we just thank you for anything done. We give Christ the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So today is 6-12, 2022. Starting out good, huh? Got it right. And I'm Paul Baalbek the III. Everybody here knows I'm not the pastor, I'm the assistant pastor. But Pastor Ricky's preaching at a Bible conference this morning, so I'm filling in for him. And so the message I'm going to do is, the title is The Internal Battle. Internal. So we're gonna look at the biblical doctrine of the struggle every believer has within themselves between the sin nature and our new nature. So, and then we do one more song now, right?
Right.
Oh, so anyway, you got an idea. That's a little commercial for the message. So.
Ready?
Need a hand?
Let's all stand and turn to hymn number 84.
Ready?
Ready.
I was sinking in deep concern, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Hallelujah. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. To him I cling, in his blessings presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful love and service to him belongs. Love lifted me. Hallelujah. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
So
in danger above, Jesus completely said, hallelujah, he will lift us by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Hallelujah. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Got to set. Be careful.
Why?
Why? Well, you sound like Bill now. I want to go to heaven. He was mad when he was in the hospital. He didn't go to heaven.
You know his license plate is SVH, right? Should be home.
Praise God. So we've already went over the title, but I'll mention it again. The internal battle. So before we go to the scriptures, I want to share a quick story, which is a true story. It's not a fable. One thing I wish I would have known about this battle when I first got saved. I didn't understand about the battle, the two natures in the believer. And one of my friends that... you know, I started learning to rightly divide the word, and I started learning the finale of the cross, the reality of the resurrection. And then from there, I came to know the difference of God's prophetic program with Israel and God's heavenly program, the mystery program with the body of Christ. Well, I started, you know, right from the get-go, I knew, since I got saved and I didn't know much, I want to get into the Word of God because I knew it's important. I want to know His mind. I want to know His will. I want to know how He works, you know. And so I started studying. I started doing these Bible studies through a grace ministry that they would send out. And I started growing. So my friend asked me to start doing a Bible study with him. People see you're shining, you're growing in grace, right, spiritually. And from there, it became his wife. Then two Bible studies, me and this other guy who was leading one, and it became a church. Just because getting into the Word of God, and the Word of God works in us. And so my friend Frank, we were going to go to a thing in, I think, Indiana. And the speaker, Bob George, he did a one-day thing. And he asked everybody, I might have said this story before, but some of you's, minds are a little fuzzy. No. I'll remind you about it again. My buddy. He asked, how many of you decide you want to really get into the Word of God and you want to get in the habit of it? And you start and you get the filthiest thought comes into your mind. He said, raise your hands. And you know how many raise their hands? Almost everybody. And my friend told me when we left, he said, thank you for bringing me here, Paul. Because I thought there's something wrong with me. And when I was a young believer, I used to think, how could I get these thoughts? How could I do these things? Am I really a Christian? You know? And so, with that, let's let the Word of God give that answer. And you say, well, this is basic stuff. Right division. Right? Well, always go back to basics. Everything is built on the foundation. You look at the book of Romans. Ephesians is built on that. Colossians. So, go to Romans 7, 15 through 25, please. Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 25. And I want you to notice some, as I study through here, I'm going to tell you, but notice this. Paul, over 36 or 37 times, he mentions me or I. When you're focused on me or I, who you focus on? Yourself, right? Okay, so let's read it, then I'll kind of explain a little bit more. Romans 7, starting in verse 15, I say to 25. For what I want to say, some people would say this is Paul as an unsaved man. Or some will say this is Paul as a saved man. It doesn't matter. If you're trying to approach God on law ground, the law will run over you like a semi. And look at the condition. If we don't understand how to rightly divide the word and then apply the word, it's not how much you know that helps you to grow. It's how much you apply of what you know. That's spiritual growth. So he says in verse 15, this is a struggle every believer has between the old nature and the new nature. I want to say we're taken out of Adam. We're a new creation. The King James says a new creature. And so we'll never be back in Adam, right? We'll look at that in a little bit. But our bodies haven't been redeemed yet. They still have the sin nature. And I've heard some people that have went to this church and go, oh, when you understand grace, you just can't sin. And it's almost like the teaching of the holiness movement. They said there was a second work of sanctification where you won't have a sin nature anymore. And then out of that came, what was the evidence of it? Speaking in tongues. Error begets error. All right? So when you get saved, you get a new nature. That's where the Holy Spirit indwells in our spirit and our soul. But there's still that old nature until the rapture. Then we'll get a new body, and I look forward to that. Won't get sick and won't get struggle with the sin nature. But till then, see, if you're not aware of the sinister, the corruption of your sin nature, it's going to get you in some area. So we want to be aware of it, but we don't want to focus on it. We want to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 6, right? He says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. See, Paul wanted to serve God. He wanted to try and keep the law. Because he had been brought up as a Jew, right? Under the law, he was a Pharisee. And sometime when you come out of legalism, you know, I did, the Holy Spirit's got to get through layers of error, you know, and cleanse it. And how do you do that? Keep pushing in truth that pushes out the error. And so, what do you say? Haven't you experienced this? What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. Tracy's going like that. She's a mom. I'm sure at times she wants to be more patient with the kids or whatever. Another one's shaking her up. Or her husbands. We go like that too, because how about with their wives? I'm not always patient when married. I want to be. Yeah. And when I'm walking under grace, walking in the Spirit, He's producing that. And I'll tell you, it's a lot more joyous, you know, when we're patient and the Holy Spirit's, we're walking in the Spirit, He produces peace and joy and love in our lives. But if we're going to get ourselves under a performance-based system, whether it's law, whether it's your own standard of legalism, or your denomination or the church you go to, that's where we're going to find ourselves. This is where I found myself as a young Pentecostal in a legalistic Pentecostal church. And he said in 16, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I who do it." Here's a very important truth you want to understand. "But sin that dwelleth in me." Now, when people say, oh, we don't have a sin, and I've heard grace, supposedly grace teachers, say we don't have a sin nature no more. Because Romans 6 in the King James said it was destroyed. Well, you know what that word destroyed means? That's why I like going to the Greek. It means rendered powerless. It's not there. It's rendered ineffective. The cross broke the power of sin nature. Okay, so we don't have to give in to it. But it's there. And look what Paul says. "But sin dwelling in me." There's that sin nature in our flesh, right? In our bodies. "For I know that in me," that is in my flesh, see the sin nature? "In his flesh dwelleth no good thing." It can become religious, it can become moral, but it cannot please God. Those in the flesh cannot please God, right? Romans 8:8. "For I know that in me," that's in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me." I desire to do God's will. I desire to, Paul's desiring to want to serve God and keep his law. And like I said, this doesn't matter. I think this is after Paul was saved. Because he's writing it. But he's going through some he had to learn. Paul learned a lot of things. He said, "I've become convinced." Right? "I've learned I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So we have a lot to learn. If you think you're there, Paul will straighten the act out. You know? If you think, yeah, I'm this matured believer and, you know, I know all of the doctrine, God is working in us our whole lives. And the wonderful thing is, He's patient with us. Christ won't, the Holy Spirit will never leave us, never forsake us. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, but He'll never leave us. They'll do some understanding God's unconditional love for your marriage, for your child, being a mom, a dad, a friend, husband, wife. Because if God loves us unconditionally, and He's forgiven us, forgive as you've been forgiven, what do you learn? How to do that, right? So we learn with Paul. And he says in verse 18, "For I know that in me, that it's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present within me." That's his new nature. "But how to perform that which is good, I can't figure it out. I find not." Have you ever been here? I have. I'll bet you there's some people out there that haven't been taught how to rightly divide the word and how to apply God's grace in our lives, their identity in Christ. And hopefully this will help them today. "For the good that I would," See, Paul wanted to do good. I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Paul's a man that is trying to approach God on law ground. And you know, Paul tells us, I think in 1 Corinthians 15:47, that the power of sin is in the law. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have power over you, dominion over you, because you're not under law, you're under grace, right? Grace frees you to serve. Get yourself under a performance-based system, you'll be a slave to sin. It might be the part of the sin nature that's moral and religious, but you'll be a slave to it. And you know, the best you can be under legalism is a Pharisee, looking down on everybody else. Oh, they don't know the doctrine. I remember one time I went to this church, I won't mention name, and they asked, what church, where do you go to church? And I says, when we were going to Grace Gospel, Jim Kirkwood, he just passed away, by the way. But, and they go, oh, he's good for beginners. I thought, what pride. That dude, I learned so much from him. I didn't agree with everything. But God had used him, like other grace pastors and teachers in my life, you know. Actually, I'm a product, and what I'm teaching is from a lot of things I learned as they taught the got sound grace doctrine through the Word Rightly Divided. And then I studied on my own to see if these things were true. Got to be a Berean, right? And so Paul says in verse 20, now if I do that which I would not, it's no more I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He realized something. And his new nature only wants to please God. But what's he say? That it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So the source is sin. The law will fan the sin nature. There's a principle in God's word that Paul calls a law. We'll find out. I find then a law. This is a principle. It's like gravity, a law of gravity. It's that principle. That when I would do good, evil's presence with me. See, his new nature wants to serve God, but there's a struggle between the old and the new. And it said the spirit struggles lust against the flesh, right? So there's that inward struggle, but I like my old pastor to say, don't look at the degree of the difficulty, but the abundance of the supply. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Christ lives in you. You have resurrection life in you. And you can do all things through Christ. But you got to walk under grace. Or you'll find yourself in this. And you know, even as grace believers, you go, well, you know I'm not under the law. I found myself condemning myself because sometimes I'll do something and I'll go, I teach grace, I know better, and all of a sudden you're putting yourself under a performance-based system. And then you always got to remember your identity in Christ, that you've been justified, you're totally righteous in God's sight. And remember what you learn, how to walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill lust of the flesh. Walk under grace, not law, right? So he says, 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So Paul wanted to please God, if you want. And remember, he had been brought up, because in time past, that's how you please God. Right? You did what the law called when, you know, to the nation, when God gave Moses the law for the nation of Israel. And Paul was part of that in time past. He said, but I see another law. So again, a principle in my members, his body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Look at, this is the state a person will get in under legalism. Oh, wretched man that I am. You ever felt like that? I have. I guess I'm the only honest one here. I see a few halos out there. But that's That's it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? You talking about a beat up? I remember laying in the bed under legalism saying, God, I'm sick of trying to be a Christian because, I can't do it. If it's going to get done, you're going to have to do it. And that's when God started bringing grace people into my life that knew how to rightly divide the word because I was ready for it. Because sometime we're gung-ho, right? You get saved, and all of a sudden, I'm going to serve the Lord. But you got to learn something. I can do all things through Christ, not in my own strength. Right? Christ lives in you. We have to depend upon Christ, not our own resources, not our own abilities. We present everything we are to God, but it's got to be Christ by His Spirit in us, expressing Himself out of us and producing fruit in our life. I try and really, me and the pastor are really trying to mentor Oscar. And I says, one of the most important things I can tell you when teaching or preaching is dependence on the Holy Spirit to do it through you. Dependence on Christ. Because if you can get everything ready and go, man, I got this put together pretty nice. This will preach. And it's almost like Christ's like, go ahead, try it. And you fall right on your face. And you learn something. I was dependent on myself. Thank you, Father, for teaching me that valuable lesson. And so, what's the answer? O wretched man, who will deliver me from this body of sin? Listen to this. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's always the answer. Everything's in Christ and through Christ. What's the focus of Paul's ministry? Christ. He said in Romans, going out of my mind, Romans 16, verse 25, that He, God, will establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. What's He preaching? Jesus Christ, but how? According to the revelation and mystery that was hid, right? It's hidden time past. So Christ is always the focus of Paul's preaching and teaching. But it's Christ as head of the body. Not what did he say? Though we knew Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:16. Though we knew Christ according to the flesh, that's in his early ministry to Israel. Thus we know him. We know him thus no longer. Now we know him as head of the body, right? Who died for our sins. He was buried and he rose and all according to the scriptures, right? And he not only rose from the dead, he ascended. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, high above all principalities, powers, and mights. And we're seated with him. I always go with him. I'm like Paul. My speech is contemptible. But I like what Paul says. I might not be trained in speech, but I am in knowledge. So you study this word. And you pour. I told my brother Joe one day, he says, I'm trying to understand, things. And, trying to explain it to somebody, things about grace. And I said, stay in the word. Because when you fill up, it starts splashing out of you. And you'll like be ministering to somebody. You won't even know where that came from. Like, I didn't know I knew that. That's the Holy Spirit taking what you, that sound edifice of doctrine from your personal Bible study and then when you come to church and it stirs the pastor, the preaching and Bible teachers, it stirs it up and it brings in an animation in our lives. And so we see Paul here. This is, I believe, a believer, I'm not going to argue with anybody. You want to say an unbeliever? Same thing. An unbeliever tries to keep the law. He's going to find himself a wretched man that he is too. Because the law demands perfection. Paul says those under the law are under a curse, right? James says if you break the least one of these, you broke them all, right? thank God for grace. Don't you thank Him and praise Him? I thank Him all the time. If I was under law, I would have been stoned. I would have been dead. Because I come up short every day, Bill. I should have worn my stacks. So this is a believer trying to live their Christian life under law, under legalism or any performance-based system. And then you see the results, a wretched man that I am. Now let me ask some. I mentioned to you in this chapter, with the verses we read, actually, it was 36 or 37 times he says, me, I. Well, who's Paul focused on? When you get to focus on your failures, you're going to be living a defeated Christian life. When you're focused on Christ, and what does Paul say in it's in Corinthians someplace. Anyway, that when we behold Him, and early in the chapter he said it's when the veil's taken away. Because Satan uses the veil of the law, a religion. Satan works best. You know, people think he's working in the people in the drugs and the prostitution. Oh, that's just demons having fun, destroying people's lives. You know where he's working the best in? Behind the pulpit. Hopefully not this pulpit. But in religion. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, right? And so Paul says, no wonder his servants, they come across as ministers of righteousness. Satan is preaching through a whole lot of preachers out there this morning. Preaching religion. Just try and be good. If your good works outweigh your bad works. You know, there's this dude, Jacob. He thinks he's funny. In the morning, he turns on sometimes some of them word and faith teachers. And they got Peter Popoff. I don't know if you know who he is. They busted him years ago. He would tell people, God's speaking to me. And he's a prosperity pimp, you know, spiritual pickpocket. And someone out there named Al got back trouble, and God's going to heal him today. And there's somebody starting to look kind of old, named Bill. God's going to make you look younger today. So you know how they busted him? An illusionist on Johnny Carson's show. His wife had a microphone in the back, and they would put prayer requests. And she was reading them, John so-and-so. He's got a back problem. Bill's thinking about getting a facelift. You know. And so he would call out their names. You don't think that's satanic? People think satanic is, Halloween. And, you know, the getting into Satanism and, you know, witchcraft. Yeah, he'll work in that too. He'll rock your boat. He's got something for everybody. But religion is where he's working, doing its best work because it sounds so good. And he'll take scriptures from the Bible and just twist them out of context. And today, you just turn on what they call Christian TV. And these guys are just, send your faith seed. This guy was selling water. And people were giving testimonies of holy water. How they got money after getting that water. Anyway, that's where Satan works. Through false teaching. And through a lot, behind a lot of pulpits. But you know what he really wants to work against? Keeping people from understanding the mystery. Who's their apostle? The apostle Paul. How to rightly divide the word, because then he can't use them people. If you're grounded in the word rightly divided, sound grace teaching, you can discern when you hear something wrong. Amen. You might not be able to put your finger on it, but the Holy Spirit is like there's some in you bringing like some conviction that's off. And then you'll be studying the Word and you'll go, that's why I knew that was off. So what's the answer to have victory, real victory in the Christian life, not like the prosperity pimps and madams that tell you God's always going to want you, He's always heal you if you got enough faith. He wants you rich. Your best life now. Best life ain't now. It's going to be in heaven. Yeah. Study Paul. He didn't have his best life then. But boy, can you imagine at the Bema steps? Paul, man, gave his all. He's our pattern, not only for salvation, but for ministry. He never quit, man. He said, I count my life like nothing. And I like Paul says, I held nothing back from you. I gave you the full counsel of God's word, right? He didn't water none down, and that's how I want to be. Because some of you might not like when I bring up certain things that maybe it's your little pet thing. But I'm not here to make you like me. I hope you love me. I'm not here to try and get money. Because I'll tell you. I'm here to edify you and to speak the truth in love. And that's what our pastor does. I appreciate Pastor Ricky. I always say he could have, I'm sure he's got offers at a bigger Grace churches. He could be getting a pretty good salary even, but he's so faithful. He's afraid if he left this church, it would fall apart. Somebody told him, Nolan, because they told him, you should go up to Wisconsin. That's your job now with the brand Bible Society. And that's what he said, no, the church. And they said, no, because when Dave was alive, you had Dave, you got Paul, you had Steve was coming at the time. Got Oscar now, you know. Ray. And so thank God for Pastor Ricky. So what's the answer to have victory in our Christian lives? Again, Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's that principle. Go to Philippians 4. I'll just tell you what it is, just for time. Philippians 4:13 for your notes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the answer to our weakness. The cross is the answer. It broke the power of the sin nature in our lives. But we have to appropriate that by faith, right? Romans 6, reckon yourself dead to sin, that's the nature, and alive to God. And I mentioned before, and I didn't finish it up, in Corinthians, where Paul talks about, but with our face, our minds unveiled. That means we see grace now. We learn how to rightly divide the word. We're not on the law, we're on the grace. And we behold Christ. We're in his heavenly ministry, where we're seated with him, in union with him, where you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You're totally righteous in God's eyes. You're accepted in the beloved, right? We're complete in Christ. And we just behold him and we're transformed more and more into the image of Christ. Do you want to grow more Christ-like? Study this word of God and apply it. Rightly divide it. Because that's where you're going to find, especially in Paul's epistles, the mind of Christ. I believe that's twofold. I believe because you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the mind of Christ. But also, especially in Paul's epistles, you have the mind of Christ from his heavenly ministry. So let's go to Romans 8:11-12. So you ain't got to go far. Take it easy on your fingers for a little while. Romans 8, One thing, Bill, I don't have short fingers. They don't come up short. So Romans 8, 10 and 11. And if Christ be with you, now he's writing to believers, so the idea is, since Christ be in you, I'm sorry. So we got Christ in us. The body's dead. It's as good as dead. Our bodies are going to die unless the rapture happens. Okay? Because of sin. What's the wages of sin? Death. You ever wonder where death came from? Disease came from? Why people, adults, abuse little children sexually? While why do some parents abuse them physically over, not disciplining, just abusing? There's a thing of disciplining in love. Well, it's because sin, when Adam sinned. Why we got hospitals? If God were a loving God, they say, right? He wouldn't let these things happen. He didn't want them to happen. He told Adam, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Because in the day you eat of it, dying you shall die. That's what's in the Hebrew scholars that know the Hebrew language. You know, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but that's like a double death. It brought physical death and spiritual, because Adam didn't die physically that day, right? He lived to be 930 years. You're about getting close to him, though. And me. I'm right behind him. But that's where death came from. And every sin, all the bad things you see in the world, they're looking at God. They should be blaming Satan. He was behind all that. And he says, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The moment you trusted in Christ, God declared you righteous. He who knew no sin became sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Christ. You've been made the righteousness of God, right? And he says, so what happened when God declared you righteous? The Holy Spirit came and gave you resurrection life. Christ came to indwell you by His Spirit. And ain't nothing changed. Now, do you feel like that most of the time? It's thank you, Lord. It's okay. Give me an amen or no. Yeah. You know. Then I know who to mess with. No. I'll say that now. Nobody won't respond. It doesn't matter what you feel. When you focus on it, your feelings will follow. We don't let our feelings lead us, because they'll lead us all over. That's how Satan does. If it feels good, do it, right? God says, here's, Paul tells us, he gives us the commands of Christ, right? Here's our commands, our promises, our instructions, right? In Paul's epistles. And then we learn transdispensational truth, all principles all through God's Word. So God says, like, all right, how about forgive as you've been forgiven? Your flesh going to want to forgive? No, man, you know what they did to me? They know who they're messing with. Right? Get the head going? No, you're not going to feel like it. Because you get hurt, you get disappointed, and everything in your flesh says, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to tell everybody what I learn about them. I'm going to rip them up and shred them up. I'm going to ruin their reputation. But God says, forgive as you've been forgiven. How much have you been forgiven for? Everything. Ain't you glad you come to a grace teaching church and know that? So we choose to forgive even when we don't feel like it. I'm not going to hold against. I'm going to let God deal with them. He can deal. Father knows best. He'll deal with them better than me, right? And I'm going to love them and pour hot coals on them since it makes you feel any better on their head. Because they won't understand, how could you be so loving when I hurt you? And then you get the feelings. Feelings are good. You know, sometimes in gray circles, it's like feelings are bad, emotions, you know, because the excesses of the charismatic movement and Pentecostalism is all built up on emotions, right? But feelings are good. God gave them to us. But they're meant to respond to our thinking. You fill your mind with sound doctrine, and then you appropriate that by faith in the little details, whether it's forgiveness or whether you're struggling in some sin. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's giving your husband respect, loving your wife. So we just appropriate that by faith. And the Holy Spirit, again, takes real. Or how about obeying your parents? Let's get the young people involved. But if we're in Christ, we can do all things through Christ, right? And so put aside the feelings. Step out in faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing? Hearing by the Word of God. Now that's where what builds faith into us. Now you take that choice of an act of our will and you step out in faith and you apply it. And all of a sudden you start getting be anxious for none but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving and make your requests be made known to God. And then what? The peace of God that passes all understanding will protect your mind and heart, right? God shares His peace. The fruit of His Spirit. He's going to produce love, joy, peace, patience, strength. Patience, oh man. I got just convicted on that. So every time I hear it. You know how hard it is to preach up here and to teach? Because I know, you know, I come up short every day. But I also know, I look in God's Word, look at David. Abraham was a liar. David was pretty much a murderer. Moses sometimes was a complainer. Oh, these people you gave me. I mean, people that were imperfect. And God used them. Paul wasn't perfect. He said, not that I'm there yet. But God can use us. And that's why it's so important to understand your identity in Christ and to learn how to walk under grace. So he says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and that's why I'm saying that word can be translated sense. Because doesn't Paul tell us in Ephesians that the moment you heard the gospel, you believed the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit? And all through Paul's epistles, he reminds us of that. But so the idea, sense the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Christ lives in you as a believer. What a privilege to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. What a privilege for God in you to express His life. We're like broken clay jars, right? But also, it's that light that shines through the cracks. So why? The glory goes to God, not to us, right? And he says in verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead, you see that resurrection life, Paul's reminding us always, shall also quicken, or the idea is give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So as we depend upon Christ in us, the Holy Spirit is going to be producing out of us, because it's in us, we have resurrection life. Make you feel blessed. Your feelings should follow. That's sound grace truth, man. Your identity in Christ. So the moment we believe the gospel, God declared us righteous once and for all, right? Don't ever forget that. It was once for all. It wasn't just you got saved now, but, you know, you light up a cigarette and he throws you out. You're unrighteous, you know. Or, you know, you... Curse. Whatever your little struggle might be, you know. So, but he sealed us, and now Christ dwells in us via his Holy Spirit. And now our spirits are engulfed with the flow of divine life. I love that. You want to hear that again? Now, because Christ dwells in us by his Spirit, and now our spirits are engulfed with the flow of divine life. Remember Christ talked about living water? It wasn't stagnant. Water that's alive, that brings life. So, up to now in the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit was only mentioned 4 times. You know that? In chapter 8, he's mentioned 19 times. So, I'm just going to a couple minutes more and we'll close up. So, it's the Holy Spirit that God, that through God's provision of what Christ accomplished through his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, he takes what he accomplishes and he makes it, again, I say this all the time, but it's important. Don't we need our minds renewed? Renewed? We got to remember things. Sometimes you don't get it the first time somebody might teach it. As we depend on Christ in us. I'll end at Galatians 5:16 and 5:18. Galatians chapter 5. And for your notes, I'm not going to go here. You could write Romans 8, 12 and 13, Romans 6, 6 through 14, and Romans 12, 1 and 2. But I'm going to end here. I think more time, but does he go to 12, the pastor?
Yeah.
No. 12, right?
Yeah.
But I think it'll be time because people look like they're getting a little tired. I'm going to give you a break today because I'm enjoying it. I don't know about you. So Galatians 5:16. This I say, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill lust of the flesh. I mean, get that. How do you walk in the Spirit? Paul says, be drunk on wine, which is an excess, like alcoholic, dependent, but be filled with Spirit. Whatever you're in dependence on is going to control you. I don't care if it's pornography, if it's drugs, if it's a relationship, your job. If you're depending on that for meaning and purpose for life, something, whatever, it's an idol if you put it before God. And so, in the opposite, walk in the Spirit. Depend on the Holy Spirit in you. And what happens? You won't fulfill lust of the flesh. Now, you say, well, why would you end here? Read verse 18. Remember where we started? Paul trying to, if you want, appease God by keeping the law. But if you are led of the Spirit, you're not on the law. So how do we approach God on a daily basis? On grace ground, right? Don't ever forget that. Don't let yourself even put yourself under your own legalism. Remember that God sees you as holy, without blemish, perfect in his sight. You're loved unconditionally. And you got the greatest resource the universe has ever seen, Christ in you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that these seeds that I planted today, these spiritual seeds, that your Holy Spirit will just, that you would give the increase and you would give them growth and your Holy Spirit would produce fruit. And I pray, Father, if there's one here or watching by video or listen to the CD, if they've never trusted in Christ and they've been trying to be moral and They've been trying to approach you under a legalistic system, maybe their own or their denomination or their pastor put them under. I pray today they will, like my old pastor used to say, lay their deadly doing down and come to you and just trust that Christ died for their sins. He took their place, their shame, their punishment by his shed blood, and that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and that he was buried and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. And I pray, Father, that they would receive that by your grace, just through simple faith, trust, make that decision. Not of themselves, that's a gift from you, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And whatever was done here, Father, we give Christ all the glory. And I pray that the fellowship afterwards would just be very sweet. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.